Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2. We are here around the virtual kitchen table, and this is one of your co-hosts, the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, having another beautiful day in my consciousness. And of course, I'm here with Bill and Cher Holton. Hi, guys. Say hi to everybody.
Hello. How is everybody doing today? This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
With a shortcut, as we always tell you, because we want you to come often, ucfyp.com.
Well, here's something interesting. As I was listening to your recording, or our recording, and editing it a little while ago, I think we need to explain to people once in a while what you mean by a hybrid ministry. So what does that mean?
Well, what it means is we're events driven, and we do a combination of virtual programs, retreats, workshops, meetings, that kind of thing, mentorship programs. So it's a combination of virtual and live. Right now, it's almost 100% virtual just because of the situation. But when we started this ministry, it's a combination of both.
Right. And I imagine as things change, you'll be hybrid in the other way. You'll have some people live and some people virtual.
Exactly.
When you figure out how to do that well, correct?
Yes.
Yep. And we'll call it a both and ministry.
Both and. I love it. That's perfect.
Oh, which is something we're going to be kind of talking about today. And of course, MR2 is about spirituality, pseudo spirituality, science, and pseudoscience, where you get to guess which one you think it is. And we're actually doing a part two on this article we found from Medium, which is a aggregator, we could say, of really wonderful articles based on your preferences. And the article we're talking about is called Surge Capacity. And Cher, take it away.
All righty. So the actual title of the article is Your Surge Capacity is Depleted. It's Why You Feel Awful, which is a pretty negative title.
Right.
And we were commenting, we don't all feel awful, so we must already be using these techniques that come from that. And the article, actually, what we love about the article is the ideas it sparked for us and our discussion. So more of our discussion has been our thoughts around the concept of surge capacity. So let me define it as it's defined in the article with one addition we added. So according to the author, again, who was Tara Haley, H-A-E-L-L-E, surge capacity is a collection of adaptive systems, mental and physical, and we added and spiritual, because we think that's probably the most important adaptive system we have, that humans draw on for short-term survival in acutely stressful situations, such as natural disasters. But she points out natural disasters occur over a short period, even if recovery takes a long time. But then she says, now we're dealing with a pandemic, and it's different because the disaster itself stretches out indefinitely. And so our surge capacity, which we can use when we're dealing with short-term survival, it gets depleted because the pandemic or the emergency phase has now become chronic. And if we don't take actual conscious, determined steps to improve that, to renew our resources, our inner resources, then we're going to get our surge capacities totally depleted.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I said last week is we could say our bandwidth gets depleted is another way of saying that. Okay, so last time we talked about a couple of these. We talked about accept that life is different right now. And it's really funny how we live in the illusion that our life is always the same, but it really isn't. And so just accepting that life is different right now and expecting less from yourself. I like that, but we also don't want to use it as an excuse to do too little in situations like this. Okay.
Well, you know, and now you say that, Paul, it's so important because when you go through something like this that you've never been through before, there's a lot that you don't know.
Yes.
And to cut yourself some slack because the learning curve may take a little longer.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a perfect opportunity to remember once again the principles of generosity and benevolence and to offer ourselves and others kindness and grace.
Yeah.
And you know, an example where I've seen that is with Zoom technology, because we are doing a ton of things on Zoom, as I know you are, and people are all in the process of learning it. Even still, after a year, some people are just jumping into these meetings, and people have been very kind and understanding when things don't go the way you expect they will go.
Well, and what's that most famous phrase heard on Zoom? You're on mute.
You're right. Yeah. We can't hear you.
We can't hear you. Yeah.
And not only are we learning on Zoom, even though we've been on Zoom now for 15 months, but the technologists and programmers that invent Zoom are also learning, because if you look at their technology a year ago, their technology today is a lot different.
That's true.
Yeah, there's been great improvements. So the next one we're just going to touch on a little bit, and then I think that's a good place for Cher and Bill to add the one that they're actually adding to her list. So it's about recognizing the different aspects of grief. And I would say recognizing grief because parts of our lives have been lost, and recognizing the loss and grieving the loss, if that feels appropriate, is really, really important. And of course, the standard Kubler-Ross concept is denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Yep. And it's really, for me, about acceptance. So I don't want to say any more about that unless you guys want to say something.
I was just going to jump in with the depression piece, because a lot of people are feeling, I think, that sense of that they may be feeling like they're depressed and they don't know why.
Yeah.
And it is part of what they've lost, and not knowing yet. There's that hope, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but there's also all these foghorns going off about it. Warnings, be careful, we're not there yet. And so people are living in that unknown, and that can create those feelings. So recognizing it's just a natural phase can be a real helpful tool.
And we're actually in a phase of this that it no longer looks indefinite. You know, she said in the beginning, going on indefinitely. Mm-hmm. Maybe 6 months ago it was like that, but I think we can clearly see an end to this. And certainly there's going to be things we're going to have to do, but it doesn't feel like an endless process.
Right. And that can help a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
And you know, one of the things I've often felt about the Kubler-Ross model is something that I feel could have been added to this, have six stages instead of five, is right before acceptance, the word tolerance. Before we can accept something, it seems, there are things that we need to tolerate for a while longer until we can accept them.
Yeah.
I think it's an important piece that really should be added.
And I think we need to add a little bit of a spiritual context here, more than what we might assume is there. And one of my favorite phrases that I usually share with somebody who's grieving is, in our humanness, we grieve.
Mm. Yes.
Right? And while we're in our humanness grieving, this is the time to lean into our divinity, to remember those aspects of our divinity, like the power of strength, for example, just to name one that we can clam onto. And love, in this sense, the feeling of love, you know, loving yourself. And now we're back to being kind and offering ourselves grace in these moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Cher, is this where you want to add your 2 cents worth?
Sure, because one that she doesn't list here, but in our discussion together, we thought was important to add, is the whole concept of reframing. So looking at a situation you're dealing with and really reframing it. If it's causing you a lot of stress, then you're not able to clearly work on solutions. So how can I reframe the way I'm seeing it is really what I was looking at. One model I just wanted to toss out that we do pretty extensively in our training with people, we call it the ACDC model. Just so people
always would have a clever name.
And essentially, if you just imagine a straight line, which represents a continuum of your level of control in a situation, which can go from no control all the way up to total control. Mm-hmm. And we're all, everything falls somewhere on that continuum.
Right.
Contrary to popular psychology that says you can change everything. You know, there are some things we don't have control over. So you look at the things you have total control over. Well, when you're dealing with a situation, the first thing you do is ask yourself, what's my level of control? And it'll go somewhere on that continuum.
Yes.
And you want to be realistic about that. So total control might be my own habits that I have. I have control over whether or not I change them. What I'm going to wear today would be something I have control over. A new skill I want to learn, I have control over making that choice. So those things would be high level of control. So if I don't like the way it is, the DC, so that's the DC side, all I have to do is make a decision and change it. Decide and change. Not and that that's that always end, easy, but it's a power.
And on that end, we all have absolute dominion over our thoughts, ideas, beliefs, images, feelings, emotions, perceptions, or experiences and attitudes.
Yeah. Of ourself.
That's of ourself.
Yes, yes. So anything about yourself you may not be happy with, well, decide and change. What am I going to do to change it? Because I have control. And then on the other, all the way at the other extreme, on the other side of the continuum would be the things that you don't have any control over, like the weather, okay, for example, or you're stuck in traffic. So you don't have control when you're stuck in traffic. The traffic is controlling the situation. Hang on. Okay, so that's the AC side, which means if I don't have control, I need to accept it, which kind of gets back to the acceptance piece.
Yes.
I have to acknowledge here I am. So it could be acknowledge or accept and cope. I have to find a way to deal with it. And that's where the reframing comes in. What could I do? So stuck in traffic while I'm here, what could I do? And you could listen to music. You could get on the phone. You could take notes. You could relax. You could meditate, whatever. All of those things you have total control over. So perceptually, you move from no control to total control with the choices you're choosing. So that power of choice is like the fulcrum in the middle that controls where you are.
That's
so reframing the situation so you put it into a context where you have more control.
Excellent, excellent. And moving in that base of acceptance, we said this last week, is also about being non-resistant in consciousness, not pushing back on it, not adding suffering to it. And since we talk so much about the power of the word, also not condemning it either, because that just grows it in our awareness. And it's that's a form of resistance, which we do not want to get engage in.
Right.
Yes.
And I think with the reframing, the big question is in any situation, okay, what are my choices here?
Yep.
And go ahead and acknowledge all your choices. You may not like a lot of them, but recognize it's a choice.
Yep.
And that way, when you end up doing something, even if it's the one you didn't want to do, you're doing it because you chose it, not because you felt it was forced on you.
Yes. So in a way, it is what you want to do in the moment because it's the best.
It's the best choice.
Best choice amongst all of them.
And of course, to use the model that Sherry used about coping when you're in heavy traffic, whether it's on an interstate or a city street or something, one of the coping strategies that yours truly uses is that you take an alternative route, which might get you ahead of the traffic somewhat. For example, if you're on an interstate, you take the first exit, get off the exit, then further up on the exit so that you've just quote unquote passed maybe 30 cars. And you're just a little, you're still stuck in traffic, but you're stuck a little bit further up.
Yeah. So I've done that when it's really obvious. Is that. And I've also done it where I'm pretty aware that it's a really bad traffic jam, got off and asked Waze for another way home.
Right. There you go. Yes. Exactly. We have technology now that helps us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a way of coping.
And I'll say, well, I remember one time we were stuck on Route I-95, rather, Interstate 95. There was a huge, all the lanes were blocked. It was hours. We were there for probably 2.5 hours. We didn't move. And we wrote a book. We wrote our little quotes book. We said, let's come up with quotes. And we wrote our whole little 200 of the best choices you can ever make. We wrote
that's great.
On the road.
there's a good use of time, right?
Yep.
And you might have been thinking for months, when are we going to get time to write that book?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we had a bunch of them written, but we just haven't ever put it together.
And of course, our more woo-woo friends will say, well, see, the universe gave you that opportunity. Yeah.
I wish the universe would have given us a nice comfortable room in which to do it that had a bathroom. That would have been nice.
That would have been nice. That would have been nice. Well, and that's a good time to think of always being prepared, always having that special bottle in the car.
I actually used my mug. I was my coffee mug.
That's why I always carry a bottle in my car.
TMI probably, but that's okay.
Yep. Okay. So the next one is experiment with both and thinking. And I think the three of us talk both and a lot.
Yeah. We do.
Often we catch ourselves, or I'll speak for myself. I catch myself in either or, and I have to go, wait, this is a both and, not an either or. And that black and white thinking of either or can be problematic. Where both and, I think, opens up the doorway for us into just what you were talking about. It's related to reframing.
Yep, exactly.
It really is tied in. And it is amazing. I know we hear this in our classes a lot, and I'm sure you do too, Paul, where the student will bring up a question that becomes an either or.
Yes.
And as soon as you say, well, could this be both and?
Yep.
Or let's look at it in another way. Maybe it's both. It is amazing how the whole conversation changes in the room. Just
the whole energy shifts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And it takes away defensiveness. People no longer feel like they have to defend a point of view.
Yep.
Because now we're accepting that and we're accepting the other and we're looking.
And it doesn't deny what is.
Right.
Okay. Especially in the classroom, it avoids making somebody wrong.
Yes. Correct.
That's it.
Which can be problematic. I mean, when there's a factual thing and somebody's wrong, that's okay. But a lot of this stuff is opinion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's where people are in their level of thinking. So, you know, people see things in a lot of different ways.
And of course, one way of helping process through something like this, and we're learning this now in the pandemic, that it could go on forever. Well, it could go on for a lot longer than what it needs to, when people don't accept what is true and keep denying the evidence and not paying attention, is in this case, not paying attention to personal protective equipment or the distancing kind of thing. It just makes it go longer than necessary.
Yeah. And a friend of mine I saw put a post on, and it was about drugs that were supposed to be good and they had bad side effects. And of course, the drugs were removed. And the point she was making, how bad science is. And I wanted to write to her and say, well, let me have your car. Let me have your cell phone. Let me have your air conditioning, because they're all in existence because of science. Let's don't make all science bad.
Right.
When
all learned from experiences to make it better. Which
exactly.
Is-
so none of us are saying science is perfect. And at least amongst the three of us, we're saying it's always in a state of question, you know, and isn't that, we're back to questioning our answers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. The next one is really easy. Just find activities that can fulfill you. And I have a real quick example. Before the pandemic, I was meeting with friends once a month to play board games, and we found a way to do it online. So we are doing the same thing, but differently. So that's a good question. How can I do the same thing and do it differently? Or what can I replace this with that will be at least as fulfilling?
Yep.
And that really ties in with her next point, if we can wrap this up real quickly, is focus on maintaining and strengthening important relationships.
Yes.
So you're finding a way to do something you did before, and in the process, keeping those relationships strong.
Yeah, instead of moaning, I can't see my friends. Well, how can we?
Right.
Be our friends is really,
we've been doing meals with people. We used to get together for lunch with certain people. So we've been doing it on Zoom.
That's the way you do it. And it's all right. So we're going to pivot to the absolute word, which for this week, we're doing the one for March 28th, 2021, what happens to be Palm Sunday. And this is why the word is Hosanna. And whenever I hear the word, I have to look it up every year. It means adoration, praise, or joy. So now the affirmation makes sense. It says, I joyously discern my path to spiritual freedom. Wow. I imagine Jesus's experience riding a young donkey through the gates of Jerusalem, seeing the waving palm branches, feeling the people's love, hope, and even their fear as they shout, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His followers looked to Jesus as the one who would free them from the bondage of Roman rule. Jesus, embracing the Christ principle, which is identical in all people, had accepted the greater mission of leading humankind to freedom from all bondage, all limitation, even freedom from death. Taking my inspiration from Jesus's example, I fearlessly embrace the Christ principle, my divinity, as I joyously discern my path to spiritual freedom. And of course, Christmas and Easter are the two times of year that uni folks get really schizophrenic. We have one foot firmly in traditional Christianity and the other foot in practical Christianity. And I look back and go, why are we doing this? All right. So thank you, folks. We're always grateful for your listening. I'm grateful for Bill and Cher. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck saying goodbye for now.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. Thank you for listening. And we just affirm your continued growth and prosperity.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and we also confirm your continued health and well-being.
And so it is.